couple days ago, Megan and I were reading through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And she made the comment, I wonder if any preacher ever just gets up and just reads this sermon. And I said, well, I can imagine that happening. You know, I can see that. I can do that. And she's like, you can just get up and read it and sit back down? I said, well, I might say something before. And she's like, no. Just get up and read it. And I'm like, well, I might try, but I can't quite do that. And then I pointed out that Matthew kind of introduces it even when he puts it in here, so I think she'll let that slide. But I do want to read through the Sermon on the Mount tonight. And before we read, I just want to point out a couple of things to look for. In chapter 4, verse 23, Matthew recalls that Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And so then a large crowd had gathered. He goes up onto this mountain and speaks to them, speaks to his disciples who have come to him. So this message, and I think as we read through this, you'll see it fits, is about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That phrase, or similar phrases, are used several times through this. As we read about this, think about that that's the purpose. This is about the kingdom of heaven. And I also want you to try and think about just kind of the radical nature of what he's telling these people. Think about if you got up and just stood before a large group of people, just random people that have come together, and you told them these things, considering the pride that we have, considering the kind of the emphasis we place on money, on power, you know, on authority, on your prestige. Think about that in comparison to the things that he talks about here. And also think about what he says or alludes to about himself. There are a lot of people who, as I was looking through, most people would consider this the most famous sermon. But there are a lot of people who it seems like would point to this and be like, you know what, this was a good code, a good kind of moral or social code, good ideals to live by. And the pacifists really like what it says here. They pull a lot from this. But I think a lot of people want to just go with Jesus being a teacher of good things, a guy who had some really good things to say that we should listen to. But while we're listening to the things he says, listen to what he says about himself and what he alludes to about himself and his authority and his power. And hopefully, as we read through this, you'll get a sermon much better than anything that I could present, much better than anything Tom's going to be able to present or that Yes has presented. This is a sermon from the great teacher. So I'm going to start reading Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then indulges one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you're presenting an offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be, yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father, who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and love. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of itself. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, for they will trample them under their feet, and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. After this lesson, Matthew makes the comment that when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And I think if we look through here, we can see that. We can see where he asserts his authority. Several places, really. What about in verse 11? It says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of things against you because of me. He doesn't say they do these because of God. He says, because of me. And you're blessed. He says he came to fulfill the law. He says, you have heard from the law these things, but I say this. Even, and there's a lot more in here, but even at the end he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. He's not saying you're not entering the because you're calling me Lord, Lord. That part they were doing right. But they weren't doing the will of his Father. And it goes on to say he is going to be there at the judgment, and he will be the one making a declaration. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, this would have been a radical sermon for those who heard it. And for those who heard it today, if we listen to it with a fresh mind, without just letting it go through as something we've heard and okay, that's familiar, I recognize those words. But if we listen to it in contrast to the message that our community, our environment would give to us, I think we can see the power that Jesus was both a radical teacher and also one who taught with authority. And because he's the one who's teaching with authority, because he had that authority, we should be listening to him. We should be doing the will of his Father in heaven. Jesus gave up his life so that we could have life. Obviously, this was a lot earlier in his teaching, but as you look and follow the life of Jesus, people were listening to him because of what he taught and because of the things that he could do. And the miracles that he did impressed people and got them to listen, and sometimes they keep listening, and sometimes they go away after they heard what he said. But he did everything necessary to prove who he was. And the greatest thing he did was die for our sins. But not just die, but live. He was buried and rose again, and lived forever. So, Jesus was one who spoke with authority because he was one who had authority. If we listen to his words, then we can be blessed. We're not blessed because of how much money we have. We're not blessed because we're so powerful or because we've got a position of authority or we've got so much intelligence or we look so good. None of those things are these great blessings. We are blessed if we listen to what he says here, if we're humble. If we exalt God and lower ourselves. It doesn't match up with what a lot of people want to do. A lot of people want to put themselves above everything else, and even put themselves above God. But if you exalt God and humble yourselves, we can have the same blessings and be a part of the same kingdom that he talks about here. So the invitation that will be offered tonight is the invitation that's been offered for a couple of thousand years since Jesus was raised from the dead. And that invitation is that if anyone will confess Christ is the Son of God and is their Savior, and will give themselves over to baptism, humble themselves into that burial so they can rise in a new life, and they can be saved. Then they can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in, as opposed to the one who doesn't obey, who's told to depart because I never knew you. So we'll offer that invitation. This time, please come forward as we stand and sing this invitation.